Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Jake Volnick with you guys from 7 to 11. We got Michael Bohm running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. Michael Markoch with us tonight. It has really just been, I mean, we are 2 days into the week, and it has been tough to just keep a smile on your face from Browns training camp. Like, listen, we go in yesterday, and obviously we joked, like, I walk away from Cleveland for a weekend, and Emmanuel Clase runs into the issues that he runs into, but also Kenny Pickett runs into a hamstring injury. But, you know, we go through, and those things are sort of just tossed around as, oh, it doesn't expect it. It's not expected to be that serious for Kenny. Kenny should be all right. Well, we got worse news. It has nothing to do with me being in Cleveland. It's MJ Emerson, torn Achilles. There's an MRI to, you know, figure out what the severity of that injury is. But listen, we all know torn Achilles, that's probably going to be the end of your season. And the Browns are going to have to think forward on how to move without MJ. And really, this is one that, I mean, it obviously hurts for MJ the person more than anything, because, I mean, you feel for a guy that plays for your team, runs into a major injury and isn't going to be there. Like, that obviously hurts on that front. But let's not put off the fact that this also hurts the Browns, right? Like, hey, this is something that the cornerback room, you were expecting from the secondary in general, probably a bump up from last year. Like, Juan Thornhill didn't play great. I don't know if you were ever going to get better play out of safety, but it's not like you were trying to replace a star at your other safety position next to Grant Delpit. So it's like, all right, well, we move off Juan Thornhill, even if we get, you know, sideways play. You expect more great things from Denzel Ward like he did last year. And we're really banking on a bounce back year from MJ Emerson. But the cornerback room, well, it's relatively deep. It wasn't slotted for one of your outside corners to go down as much as it would have been slotted for one of the inside corners to go down. And we know, like, Jim Schwartz's defense predicates itself very heavily on, all right, the pass rush, we're going to let you go get after the quarterback. We're going to let you try to stand tall and do your work right from the beginning. But it's also predicated very heavily on the idea that I need to go and see what this secondary can do in a man defense. And MJ, well, again, a struggle last year, was obviously really good in year one in that scheme, and the offense did not help them in any way last year. We were expecting, at least I was expecting, good things out of MJ this year. Like, I was fully expecting a bounce back. And now this is obviously a really painful thing for the defense to have to go through, because any time that your cornerbacks get worse, your secondary gets worse in a Jim Schwartz defense, you run into some major problems. You need that for going into later downs, trusting those guys to be good and be able to lock up the pass game, or at least hold it down long enough that it allows your pass rush to get in and affect the quarterback. Again, I don't think the Browns are set up in a terrible spot. Like, Greg Newsom's a fine corner, who I'm expecting he probably moves to the outside after this. And probably, I don't know that he stays there full time. I don't know that he's fully MJ. Like, MJ is by far the biggest corner that you have. But he's going to mix in and play a lot more outside than he was planning to. I'm sure they try to fill the slot corner a lot differently, probably mixing in guys like Cameron Mitchell, probably mixing in guys like, you know, I don't know. I think that it was thrown out today that they had Ronnie Hickman up there playing slot corner after he had gone down. So you have a lot of things to sort of sort through. This is a massive hit for the defense. A defense that we're counting on to be very good this year, a lot better than they were last year, if you're going to go out and actually win some games. So I just don't know how much you can really withstand if you're the Browns. Like Kenny going, you know, down for a short period of time. It's the one position on this team where if you suffered an injury right now in training camp, minor, major, anything, it's like, all right, well, you got a lot of guys there. One of those is out on the field at a time, and I got four of them. Four of them that I don't know that I trust all of them, but he brought them in for a reason. So you have guys to step up and take the spot and live up, and you're going to be fine. Like, I don't know that any four of the quarterbacks goes down, and everybody looks around and goes, oh, doomsday from here on out. At least not compared to what you were getting before. Maybe it is doomsday. Maybe the quarterback is a real problem, but it wasn't doomsday from what you already had. But now without MJ, it's like the defense goes from the potential of being elite to, all right, let's take a step back and see how they can fix this. You're really just putting more pressure on the defensive line. Like the defensive line has to be that much better. In a year where, I mean, I have some trust from the guys on the outside. I really like Isaiah McGuire. I really like Alex Wright. I've heard good things, although I don't know that I like or dislike him because I haven't really seen him play. And try on Chuenka. But like they've been talked about very highly on the outside. And obviously the addition of Mason Graham. But this is, when we talk about name value, one of the least star-studded defensive lines that we've had in a while. Like you've always had a Za'Darius Smith, a Jadeveon Clowney. Even if they weren't playing at their highest, you had guys where you knew the type of production that you could be getting. Isaiah McGuire, Alex Wright, they're a wild card. I don't know what I'm getting out of them. And now I'm going to be calling on them to be doing more and have to be better, especially when it comes to rushing the passer. Those guys are going to have to be at the top of their game because I don't think Greg Newsome's a bad corner. You stick him on the outside, he's certainly not as good as he is in the slot. He's just not. I mean, the statistics show that through and through. And I don't know that, you know, I like Cameron Mitchell a lot, putting him on the outside. The guy does not have the size to be a man-to-man outside corner. Like, it's just call a spade. He does not have the size to do it. So you start running into real issues here. And we're obviously not dooming the defense from day one. I mean, it's July 29th. Let's see how they plan it out. But this is a major hurdle. This is one of the guys that if you looked at the defense, you would say, I can't have that guy go down. Right? That guy can't be one of the main ones that we're missing here. Not to mention, well, let's pair that up in Denzel Ward's injury history. Your cornerback room could get real thin real quick, right? And for a span of weeks, if we're talking, you know, potential concussions with fingers crossed, hopefully we don't see from Denzel this year, but history would tell us that there's a good chance we see that at some point. I just don't know how much the defense can take. Like Jordan Hicks retiring was already a big enough blow to this defense. You start putting MJ Emerson into it, and I'm looking around going, I just need these guys to stay healthy because if not, it starts getting real ugly real quick. And I think that's kind of the theme that we've run into for this Browns team this year. I just don't know how deep they truly are. Like the defensive line, deep. I can trust the defensive line. Everybody else, especially on the defensive front, I don't know that depth is anywhere near the Browns' strength. They just feel like they're very top heavy when it comes to each and every one of their rooms where, all right, if everybody's healthy, I still feel pretty good about this team, or I feel like they can do something. But as soon as you start transitioning and going to, all right, well, let's call on the guys behind them, I start getting a little bit worried. I start fearing that this is going to be a significant problem that this team's going to run into. And if we're being 100% honest, I already know the offense is going to go through struggles. I already know there's going to be issues there. And yes, I obviously need health in that room to keep them effective. I'm starting to look at this thing and think that you probably need to lean on the defense a lot more than the offense. Like, my bar for the offense is be competent. Just go through and look like you know how to play. And be able to move the football. Try, if you shoot and you get to middle of the pack offense this year, you are running, off and running, and you're feeling pretty good. Like, this team should be where they're at if you can be near a middle of the pack offense and probably exceeding expectations. The bar for the defense is to be an elite defense. Yeah, I need them to be one of the best in the NFL. Again, and we're shooting for exceeding expectations when we have this conversation. I'm looking for them to climb higher. It's just with every day passing, it feels harder and harder to buy into that, at least for this week. Like, hey, your offense might have gotten worse with the Kenny Pickett injury. Who knows? Your defense certainly got worse today with MJ Emerson going down with a torn Achilles. That's just one that, again, it's painful. It's tough to see that go down because I just don't really know how you bounce back from it. I don't know how you're going to fill this in. Like, I get MJ had a really bad year last year. We weren't banking on MJ having two really bad years. Like, we were trying to get him back to the corner that he once was. And this is one that, yeah, it pulls on the heartstrings. It also is going to be a major blow for this team, I think, in what they're going to be able to do defensively and how competitive they're going to be able to stay in some of these games against harder teams. It certainly makes your first six games in the six-game stretch that we've consistently talked about over and over again a lot more difficult to sort of push through and make a real conversation about. Because I need the defense to be great, not just in one of those games. I'm talking about at least four or five of them. Like, I need the defense to be really good if you're playing the Bengals. I need the defense to be really good if you're playing the Ravens, the Lions. And I think you could probably make an argument for the Packers or the Vikings. And outside of that, it's like, okay, if you play well in maybe the other games, but not in an elite level, you might get through it. It gets a whole lot hairier, though, in the earlier games when you're facing great offenses and trying to make this defense come through. And I was kind of counting on MJ to be that second corner, be able to, hey, when you're going up and I have Denzel going against Jamar Chase, I feel pretty confident with Denzel in that matchup. I need to be confident that somebody could also lock up T. Higgins. That was supposed to be MJ. That was supposed to be the guy that I counted on in every waking moment. And now you just don't have that luxury. Again, you feel for MJ entirely. That is a brutal way to do it through camp, not being able to just see him turn into the player that we were hoping he was going to and have that bounce back year. It's just a tough thing to run through. 216-474-0092. How big of a hit to the defense is this as well? We got to talk a little bit more on the defensive side and how much it plays into any sort of Brown success this year. Again, 216-474-0092. You can also get to me on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake. So we can get to our social media reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Plenty of good stuff coming up for you guys tonight. As always, we have the Station Buzz coming your way at 7:40. We're going to talk to our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, out at training camp today. Injury, when it occurred, I'm sure Daryl saw, and everything else that's going on with the team right now. Quarterback competition, everything else. Pads were off today, so you didn't get a full view of everything, but we got enough. So we'll talk to Daryl coming up at 8. It is a blind tier Tuesday. We'll get that at 8:40. Get a grip at 9. And, of course, react to the Guardians. Change your mind in the 10 o'clock hour. But right now, 216-474-0092. How big of a hit is an MJ Emerson torn Achilles to this defense? And you need the defense to be elite. I think that might be your only way to success this year. Your calls and more coming up on this in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With the guys here until 11 on the Fan. And a significant loss for the Browns defense. Like, that has been made, I think, apparently clear already, just in the way that we sit here and we talk about MJ and the things that he's really capable of doing on this defense and he's tasked with doing on this defense. It makes it a much tougher road for the Browns moving forward, just not having him. And I just, again, I struggle to see where you go. I struggle to see how you get, really fill in this position. Like, there's guys that you just lose and you say, all right, if that guy's gone, the defense is not going to be as good, or this position group or this part of the team is not going to be as good as we need them to be. Like, the clear and obvious is like you take Myles Garrett out of the defensive line, and I'm not saying MJ is Miles, but you take Miles out of the defensive line. Yeah, I have some serious concerns for not only what the D-line's doing, not only what the defense is doing, but really the entire team and how they're going to perform.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So I think it's fair to look at this and not go, all right, well, next man up. Just got to step up, see where they go. Like, it's more than that. There are just guys that mean significantly more to a team that you have to trust. And MJ is one of those guys. Even if he wasn't great last year, just the idea that he could be what he was year one instantly makes that more difficult. And I think the bigger thing here is turning and looking at the defense as a whole and what it means for the success of this team. Again, I sort of laid out, like, my bar for the offense is just be competent. If you can get to middle of the pack, that's flying high for me. Like, if you're a middle-of-the-road offense in the NFL, you have exceeded my expectations. The defense, if I'm trying to look at the potential of this team being successful, which I know, it can be a little bit of a long stretch looking at what we have in front of us. But if this team's going to find success this year and they're going to try to get on the right side of 500 or even up to 7 wins, so much of that for me is just on what the defense can do. Right? It relies on the defense not only being like solid or just good, because I think that's about what they were last year. Like, they were a solid defense. They were right around the middle of the pack in a lot of categories. You don't get to just be solid. Like, if you are just average, this team is going to sink. It relies on this defense being elite. Like, a top 5, top 7 defense in the NFL for this team to find success. And I put so much weight into this team, into that unit for this team to find success. Losing MJ, it does. It almost brings you down a notch from what I even think the Browns are capable of doing. Because I think you're going to have to find such a different way to get it done that I don't know you reach elite status without a guy like that on your team. Like, we were talking weeks ago, and really throughout the last few weeks, we've been talking about, you know, a lot of this team. Yes, I think that when I talk about you could be between two wins, you could be between 10 wins. That's like, all right, if I flip a coin, it lands on heads every time. I think you'd probably get up towards 10 wins. Now, there's a lot of things that I'm confident in this team that they didn't perform last year that I think they're going to be much better at this year. But things like health are one of the ones that land on that. And MJ Emerson bounce back was one of those things I also needed to land on heads. Like, you've already landed on tails on one position. You're already down a notch from where you're at. Like, 10 might have gone down to 9 on the high side. Just because I don't know what else you have. But it's the defense as a whole. Like, every move that is made, every time the defense takes a hit, it feels much more impactful than when the offense takes a hit. Because I do. I think you just have guys ready to line up. Like, the offensive line, I think, needs to be healthy. That's a group that I look at. I'm like, all right, well, you got to be good. Just about everywhere else, it's like, all right, well, if somebody goes down, I'm looking at the next man up. Obviously, you lose Jerry Jeudy. That's huge. But if I lose Deontay Johnson and Cedric Tillman steps in, it's an all right move. And I think it relies a lot more on the quarterback this year than anything else. If I lose Jerome Ford and it goes to Dylan Sampson, I'm not saying this team is taking an immediate massive hit. Like, yeah, it's a worry, but it's not this huge downgrade to the team. It's everywhere but offensive line. Even tight end to a degree is the same way. I just don't view the offense as being as impactful. I have the defense carrying 75% of the weight of this team and the offense handling the 25%. And by the way, that's not even a massive knock to the offense that we're looking at. Which, I mean, you can make it one. It's not far off, but it's not a massive knock to the offense. Like, I think the Eagles are in a very similar position in a lot of ways. Like, they relied probably 75% on their defense to be great, and then 25% on their offense to be better than middle of the road, but like in a good category rather than just being great, rather than being elite. Like, yeah, you have a really good run game, but if the defense doesn't step up, like, that offense is not one that I look at and think, oh, well, you got to really, really watch out for the Eagles offense because that's just a dangerous one. Now, I got to watch out for Saquon Barkley. I do agree, have to watch out for Jalen Hurts and be worried about what he does. But more than anything, I'm worried about what the defense does. Like, a great team, Super Bowl caliber teams, can rely on that same level of metric and that same distribution when we talk about defense to offense. So it's not a knock to say what the Browns are. You just are a heavier defensive team. But it's obviously much more of a question mark than we talk about a team with the Eagles. I know they're going to be great. I don't have any questions about the Eagles' defense, really. It's easily next man up in their rotation. A defensive line's great. Secondary does their job. They're good enough, at least. It's just the constant questions with the Browns' defense, and I think why we look at a team that is sitting at like 5.5 wins for the season. It's not just, you'll keep it going and you'll see what happens. It's not next man up. It is question marks on question marks, and I just need them to live up to what they were before, close to what they were before. And again, it becomes harder every single day with every injury that you watch, with every, Jordan Hicks retiring, to go through and continue to have that same belief. And I want to have it. I want to believe in the Browns' defense. I just don't know that you can. Again, 216-474-0092. How much of the Browns' success this year is banking on the defense being elite? For me, it's a whole lot of it. It's, like I said, it's like a 75% focus on the defense, which I think is a lot more than other teams can say. There's only a couple of teams in the NFL built that way, and the Browns just happen to be one of them right now. The offense, I can sit out there and watch them. You can get out to training camp, you can watch the Browns' offense. You don't have a ton of reasons to be like optimistic about it. Excited is a different word. I would say I could be excited about a Browns offense. I don't think I can be optimistic about it. The defense is, in a lot of ways, I think, both for me. I can be excited. I can be optimistic about everything that they have going for them. It's just, yes, the offense has to carry their weight. The offense has to be what they are. That is an important part in this conversation. I'm not saying the offense doesn't matter, but they do just have to kind of ride the wave of, they're set to a lower expectation, they're set to a lower bar on this team's success. So I just don't need the same type of things out of the both units. You really just don't. I need everything out of the defense right now. I don't know how you get by without it. And really, I think last year was a testament to that. Like, yes, again, the offense being bad definitely played a role in the defense taking slouches, but if the offense can't contribute and the defense is still good, you are looking very similarly to the way that you did at a 2023 team. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell you the team in 2023 who did win 11 games, who did go to the playoffs, that the offense was great. Even when Joe was here, and the offense was better when Joe was here. But even when he was here, the offense was not great. Like, let's not forget we were winning games with PJ Walker at quarterback, with DTR in the mix and playing quarterback for a significant period of time. Like, you were bouncing around just trying to make it work until Joe was ready to go. We were not watching a good offensive team. You still had no run game and a lackluster passing attack. But when the defense steps up in that massive way and the offense can at least move the ball, like, the Browns defense carried so much of that weight. They were winning so many games at home just because you were holding opponents to a much lower score and you were just asking less of the offense. You go through and you have to find out really what you have. But the offense is finding out what they have. That is their goal this year. And that's why when, you know, we listen to pundits and talking heads talk about this is a transition year for the Browns. They're sort of in between. And Albert Breer said that yesterday. He said that he views this team as a transition team right now. They're not a team that is rebuilding, but they're not a team that's currently ready to compete right now. You are on a mission to find out, do I have a quarterback and what else around my offense is something that I can count on? And what is something that I need to go replace as we move 1-2 years into the future? The defense is so far off of that. Like, the defense is a defense that is close to ready to compete, if not already there. That entire side of the ball holds their own day in and day out, week in and week out. They're ready to go. So much of the offense is, all right, like, yeah, if they're bad, I'm not going to be just utterly surprised. I'm not going to be tearing my hair out the offense every single week, even if it's Joe back there, because I know, all right, well, I'm still trying to figure things out with going back to the old scheme and having a semi-new look offensive line with DeJuan Jones, hopefully healthy and playing left tackle. And I know the wide receiver unit and what they're going to be in the run game and what it could be. I still just know that I have a lot of different things to figure out. Again, it's, I think Mary Kay said it today, fact-finding mission. That's the way that they have to view it. And that's truthfully what this offense is. I think, again, the defense just isn't on that same route. You can't view them both in the same way. And it's, oddly enough, teams that you expect to be bad, a lot of the times I feel like are relatively bad on both sides of the ball. Like, the Titans right now are bad on offense and defense. The Jaguars right now, better on offense, but still pretty bad on both sides of the ball. They have a lot of things to figure out. I expect both sides to be bad, which is, I think is why you can have, you know, some expectations for the Browns or even hope for the Browns to be a little bit better because, well, you got one side of the ball relatively figured out. But they are that odd transition team where it feels like such a dichotomy between the offense and the defense in trying to figure out, you know, one team that are on one side of the ball, you feel like you're entirely rebuilding. Well, like I said, on the other one, you're fully ready to compete. It's just this balancing act that they're doing that, yes, the defense needs to be elite. If people want to see the Browns succeed this year, I don't think your optimism should be lying in the offense. Yeah, I don't think you should be going, well, Joe's going to come back and he's going to look great. You and I both know that's a possibility that could very well end up not being the case. I need them, obviously, both to step up for this team to be fully successful, but it just rides so much more on the defense. Again, 216-474-0092. How much of the Browns' success this year is banking on the defense being elite? I'm just riding a whole lot on the defense being there. Again, great things coming your way. We're going to talk to our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter, Daryl Ryder, coming up here at 8 o'clock. We're going to talk to him about MJ's injury, what it means for the defense, and everything that he saw out at training camp today. Hopefully you're going to get some really good stuff out of Daryl, and I think that we have a really good possibility to find out a little bit more on the direction the Browns are heading and where they're trying to supplement MJ's production to come from in the 2025 season. As well, it's going to be the Station Buzz heading your way here in about 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick, with the guys here until 11 on The Fan. Before we get into all of that, we obviously were sitting here, we were talking to you guys, sort of the impact that the defense has. And I think that it's incredibly important for the defense to be elite if they're going to be, in any way, shape, or form, a successful team this year. They just have to rise to the occasion. Yes, the offense matters. Yes, you have to trust the offense to do great things. But the defense has to be really on top of their game in order to do it. So I just don't know, looking any other way, that the defense can really be anything but the main focus. And yes, it's going to be a big loss for MJ Amberson. Really quick, before we get to the station buzz, let's head out to the phones. Jeff is in Lakewood. Want to jump in. Jeff, what's going on?
What's going on, man? Great job, man. You know what I'm saying? I want to keep the young brother in prayer, man. You know, Emerson, man. But you know what I'm saying? We got to kind of like idle down, man, because you know I know, man, everybody knows since the history of sports, man, going to be an injury. Just hate it's one of your, you know, your best player, man. I really feel bad for him, man. But it ain't going, you know what I'm saying? The Browns still going to be in last place. And we talked about the guy Hicks and things we got from Minnesota. Man, that dude haven't done nothing since he got here. That was probably the best thing for him to do, to retire. We just got to pump the brakes, man, because you know the dude Hicks. If he was all that, Minnesota would have locked him up. You know what I'm saying? That dude, man, I watched all four of them. I watched all the games. That man ain't did nothing since he's been in the Brown uniform. But it's an opportunity, man. That's why I love Brady so much. Tom Brady, when he got that opportunity, even though his teammate got hurt, he got that opportunity, man. The rest is history, man. The mother guy got to feel that way. Minnesota, I hate my teammate got help hurt, but this is an opportunity for me to make a name for myself. Them guys got to quit having that pity party, man.
Yeah, and Jeff, I think you have it right for the mentality that it should be for the Browns, and I appreciate the call. I think you have it right where the Browns should be going with everything here. Like, it should be next man up. They have to step in. Obviously, the season rolls on. They can't sit here and drop their head. I think from our perspective, yes, you can also recognize it's going to be a massive blow. Like, I don't want to hear the Browns talk about, I don't know where we're going to go with MJ down, and I don't know if this defense can be the same. If the Browns start saying that, we're going to have some bigger conversations on this show. We're going to have a lot bigger conversations in the grand impact of the Browns. But I think that looking at it from the other side, like, yeah, it's a lot easier to sit here and evaluate as a whole and be like, I've seen some of these other guys play. Like, I like what I've seen out of Cameron Mitchell. I just don't think he's an outside corner man-to-man. I don't think Greg Newsom is really a great man-to-man outside corner either. Those are the difficult things that you kind of need now to evaluate. It's like, you don't have a guy who, next man up, I haven't seen him play. I think that's why it's so easy to take some of these evaluations and be like, I just know how big of a hit this is going to be. I don't think Jordan Hicks is bad. I mean, he had the green dot on the defense. He's a leader. I don't know that, like, he's not JOK, but this defense, the linebackers really never will be. Like, JOK was the exception because he's an athletic freak. You don't really ask the linebackers to do that. I thought Jordan Hicks was a fine linebacker to have. I thought he was a staple piece that I could rely on. I don't know that I would say he did nothing. I think it's all right. All right, without further ado, let's get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today with the station buzz.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's kick things off. Coach Riz, Lance Risen over at Cleveland.com. Jumping on today with JP and G. Bush out at training camp on afternoon drive. And speaking of the MJ Emerson injury, he talked about where the Browns go after.
Who was the first guy in? Newsom went outside and Hickman went to the nickel, which tells me now Hickman looks a little bit thicker this year. That looks like a spot he can play. And when you're at the nickel, you got run fits. You got C&D run fits. So you got to make sure you can do that. I'm not sure if he can. Who knows? Obviously, that'll come with pads and that'll come with scrimmages. But that was the first thing in was he went to that nickel and then Newsom went outside where he likes. And I think Cam Mitchell will be a part of that because I still think they want to have Newsom inside, who's doing a great job inside. And once again, in Schwartz's scheme, if you're going to be in that nickel, you're a backer and you got to make sure you can stop the run.
I think it's interesting to look at Ronnie Hickman and be like, that's a legitimate sort of fix at corner, even though he's traditionally not a corner and he's more of a safety. You stick him in the nickel. Like, I just don't know if I can trust him to play the inside. Like, I like Greg a lot as an inside corner. I don't think he's going to get paid a boatload of money by the Browns. I think he's probably looking at Greg walking away and play for somebody else next year, more likely than not. But I just don't know if I love Greg going to the outside. If that's your immediate fix, it doesn't feel great. But like we've been talking about, I don't know that there's an immediate great fix that you can get. Like, if that's the next best thing up, that is where I start to draw some of the concerns of, I don't know how much faith I can have in the secondary with Greg Newsom on the outside. He'll be okay. I'm not saying he's going to be absolutely abysmal, one of the worst corners in the NFL, but he's not going to be MJ Emerson. And that's where a lot of the fear is. Shout out to Ronnie Hickman. Listen, if he bulked up, if he can play that sort of hybrid and he can play the nickel corner, I'll leave it to be seen what he can do. I think a lot more of my concerns, though, are not so much what's going to happen on the inside. I think you have multiple good options there. Hey, it's who steps up on the outside. All right, let's keep talking Browns. John Greco, former Browns offensive lineman, on today with Ken and Anthony, and he talked about what starting Joe Flacco would be a message of sending.
Who would I? Joe Flacco. I mean, I think we've kind of known that and talked about that. So, putting the schedule aside, I think that making that move proves that, like, hey, we're early on, we're trying to put the best product out there, put people in the best opportunity, the best position to win games, galvanize the unit, and give some of these vets that stuck around potentially because of, you know, a quote-unquote plan that was in place to try to win games. So I think it's got to be Flacco.
So I thought this was interesting. Like, and listen, John and I agree. We've talked about this, obviously. We do our daily Browns quarterback rankings, which will come up later on in the show. But I also don't know that starting somebody else signals anything else on this team. Like, do I have to turn to Joe to try to prove a point that I'm really for winning? Like, I don't know that Kenny Pickett, the way that the fan base views him, they'd feel the same way about it. I don't know that Kenny Pickett's a, you know, you admitting that you're not trying to go out and win. I don't know that starting a rookie is you admitting you're not trying to win. It depends what that rookie looks like. From what we've seen so far, yeah, that might be the indication. But if I see Dylan Gabriel or Shador step up and just be really good and in the preseason, look amazing, and they say, hey, we really trust in this quarterback to start the year, I don't think that's saying you're not trying to win. Yeah, I think it's the easy answer from an outside perspective is to look at the four guys and go, Joe gives you the best chance. And from our perspective, again, it's still what I believe. I'm going to hold that, though, until we get to later on past preseason before I start talking about This guy gives you hands down the best chance to win. I just think that's a little bit to be determined, and the Browns are clearly holding a quarterback competition for a reason. They're letting multiple guys get a crack at trying to win the job for a reason. It's because, you know, Joe's not an elite quarterback in the NFL right now. He can't just come in and run away with the job. His opportunities to do so over the last couple of years would tell you that. He went from sitting on his couch to five good games to backing up Anthony Richardson to back with the Browns with not a ton of other options in the NFL. He's not starting quarterback caliber for a lot of teams, and that's where you get to it. All right, 40-year-old veteran, hey, give me your best shot. I trust you a little bit. I just don't know that going anywhere else is like a screaming, this team's worried about something else other than winning. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on today with Baskin and Phelps. She talked about Shedeur Sanders, as Jimmy Haslam also chimed in about it later today, as why he was taken. Was it Jimmy Haslam making the pick? Was it Andrew Berry? And just overall, why is he here?
I think it was a value pick, and I think people vastly overrate Jimmy's involvement in selecting players. I really think that people have a misconception about how that works. Andrew's firmly in control of this football team and has final say over the roster, and I really don't think that Jimmy is dictating any of that stuff.
I don't know how much that, like, I buy into Jimmy having no say in this. It does feel like at a fifth-round pick, I'm sure Jimmy was sitting there going, all right, how long are we going to let Shedeur slide? I think Andrew Berry, though, was probably thinking a similar thing. And I don't love Andrew Berry walking in and ripping Shedeur for a speeding ticket. Felt like he went a little hard in the paint for that category. I don't know that I've heard anybody speak absolutely glowingly about him in the last couple of weeks just from being here. But then you can look around and, like, they don't say negative things about him either. I really don't care if it was a Jimmy Haslam or an Andrew Berry pick. I don't. Like, it value pick is the answer of what it was. He was there in the fifth round. It was practically dumb not to go up and take him. Like, at that point, you are not getting a more talented player than Shedeur Sanders at that draft pick. That's the bottom line for me. I don't care if it's Jimmy. I don't care if it's Andrew. I don't care if Kevin Stefanski made the call himself behind Andrew's back. I really don't. It's a matter of, okay, he's here. Can he be the quarterback of the future? Can you see him play games this year? That's what's important to me. I really don't care about who made the pick at this point, or if Jimmy's involved, or if Jimmy's not involved. Just make the most of it. The guy's here. He's going to prove himself to be a quarterback in the NFL, or he's going to prove himself not to be one. It's more important for me that he just gets the opportunity, gets the reps to go through and do so, a lot more than trying to be bogged down and worried about who's all involved in trying to make the pick, who actually sent in the call, who made the decision. His fans, like, I get you don't want Jerry Jones running the organization here, but does it really make a difference at the end of the day? Unless Shedeur just sits his QB4 and then goes to another team and immediately looks like the best quarterback in the NFL, I don't think anybody's going to be losing their mind, whether it was Jimmy or whether it was Andrew Berry, who made a fifth-round selection. Ryan Baldinger on This Morning with Ken and Anthony of NFL Network. And they asked him about the possibility of trading either rookie quarterback, and he responded.
I mean, they haven't played a game yet. I wouldn't trade either one of them. But they also knew that when they drafted these guys and they traded for Kenny Pickett and they brought Joe back, they knew it was going to be a crowded quarterback room. And we all knew, you know, when they went to camp with four quarterbacks like this, that the rep, it wasn't going to favor anybody in trying to win a job right now. Just because it's so limited with basically one practice a day, if you get that, and just three preseason games. It's not going to be a substantial amount of work for anyone. And you really want to make the evaluation, you know, when Betonio and Teller and, you know, the whole offense line is out there. It's very limited. It's very difficult. But I would not trade either one of them right now. I'd like to see them in some game action to see what they look like.
I think it's so like interesting that, and you know, I'm included in this. I do the exact same thing, but we draw conclusions so early about some of these quarterbacks. It's like, do I have to get one of them or get rid of one of them? Like, the rookies don't look like they're in the race. Yeah, can we, like Brian said, can we just see them play a game before we get into that? Can we see them actually out on the field behind a real offensive line and see how they read a defense and they work when the pads are on? Yeah, that's the most important thing here. And if you're trading a rookie quarterback, then I'm pulling my hair out. Like, you need an answer at quarterback for the future. If you're trading away a rookie, you're not getting good value for him because anybody that's shopping a rookie, you're basically telling that organization, yeah, we don't really believe in him that much. Right? We took him in the third or the fifth round, but I don't really think he's going to be anything. And that's the only message that would be sent here. This is not an Eli Manning situation where he forces his way out. It's just not going to be one of those moments. So don't trade away one of the rookies. I'd be hesitant to trade away any of the quarterbacks before you got to see some real preseason action, probably like up to two games. You get through some of those joint practices before I make any of those moves, just because I think it's the same thing with Joe and much more to a degree with Kenny and the rookies. Just show me what they have on the field before I go making drastic decisions like kicking one of them off my team. The worst thing you can be in this conversation is wrong, right? When you trade away a guy, the worst thing you can be is wrong. So let's make sure you have the full scope before you get it done. All right, last one here. Chris Jimenez on Afternoon Drive today of Guardians TV talked about the possibility of trading either Kwan or Bieber following the Clase news.
I don't know if it, 100% guarantees both of those guys will be traded, but I definitely think they're fielding a few more calls than they may have initially had to field in the first place. Just knowing Clase was our best trade chip, truthfully. And I thought if you potentially paired him with somebody like Steven Kwan, the return you could get back for those two guys in particular would have been astronomical and potentially even organization changing. Now, I think they would have only made the trade if it was truthfully organizational altering. I don't think it was a guarantee that either one of those or all three of those guys get traded, and I still don't necessarily think it is. I think they both have to be overwhelmed. I think Shane Bieber's probably one that's more likely to be traded than Steven Kwan, just because of not only what Kwan means to the clubhouse, but to the organization and the fact that, he's still going forward for the next 2 years a part of the organization, has a chance to be a part of it. Whereas Shane Bieber, potentially could be a free agent next offseason.
If the Guardians aren't taking phone calls on either of these guys right now, they're out of their mind. After losing Clase, and it could be a year suspension like we've seen from some minor league guys, that could be a lifetime ban. We just don't know at this point. You should probably be looking around to move just about anybody that you potentially could. Everything's on the table right now for the Guardians. All right, that'll do it for the Station Buzz. When we come on back here in 5 minutes, our very own Cleveland Sports Beat reporter Daryl Ryder joins us. The latest from Browns training camp on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose.
So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.